Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, and we thank you for taking your time out of your schedule to sit down at the table with us. Tonight, you're listening to a conversation entitled, You Are in Control. You Are in Control is the name of tonight's subject. And here at the PRF table, we're not just another radio show or a talk show or a ministry, but we are a community of people from all types of backgrounds, all types of theological positions, statuses, economic classes, races, and religions. This is a community where everybody has a seat at this table because we know that the dialogue and the conversations that we're engaging in, they're often needed. But oftentimes, they're less frequently talked about in a transformative and practical and a meaningful manner. So with that, we thank you for just taking the time out of your schedule once again and hope that you have an enjoyable evening with us as we're going to try to do with you. As the founder of the PRF table, I am wise enough to know that in addition to God's help, there is no way that I could do this show without two special people. Brother Feaster, how you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing a whole lot better this week than I was doing last week, I would tell you that. My little cold, well, thank you. I shared the wealth. I gave my cold to a couple people at work, so I'm sounding a whole lot better, but they're a little upset with me. So I'm ready tonight.
Amen. And Sister Dia Sanders, the other host of the show, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Had a wonderful day today.
You know, you just can't help but to trip out on Brother Feaster. let me just can't help it. He's just that type of person. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where we're at tonight. Tonight's show, as I said, is called You Are in Control. And I think it's an awesome thing when I hear somebody make a step of faith for God and not be bound by economics and finances. But more importantly, I think what happens is that person becomes a living testimony. And I think that is what you're going to get tonight from the two special guests that we have coming up shortly. They're going to testify to you about how they've been and how they are living out this thing that we're talking about tonight, which is them being in control. You know, it's important that more people hear about living testimonies because a lot of people are not trying to hear about just the end of the story. It's easy to tell somebody, and Brother Feaster, as a minister, you can appreciate this as well. It's easy to tell somebody about the end of the story, but I believe that it's more important and is even more powerful when people can see and also know that there are some people that are walking through some things right now. One of the things that I can see, Brother Feaster, is that it encourages people when people see things like that. It lifts them up. It blesses people. And, you know, the greatest thing for me is it gives glory to God, you know, whether people recognize it or not. So that's exactly what we've been called to do on tonight's show. It's not about expressing, and let me say it like this. Tonight's show is not about expressing our control as individuals, as if we are in control of everything, as if we don't recognize that God is in total control. That's not what we're talking about tonight. A big part of this thing for us tonight is about giving people hope that you can make certain decisions in your life and not be bound by your finances. Or as we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, thanks to Sister Adia, not having that negative dependency on money. Amen. So with that, Sister Sanders, do you have anything before we just get into the show and get ready to prepare our guests for what they have to bring for us this evening?
I just want to say I have just really enjoyed learning, and I will tell you that any time I've never looked at being a co-host on a radio show before as a means to minister to yourself. So I really enjoyed the last several shows that we've had about giving and dependency on money, because in talking and just expressing where you are, it definitely allows for you to see hidden areas in your life that where you can allow God to grow you in your faith and your continual dependence on Him. So these past about the past month or so has just been really been tremendous for me as I have just really stepped into another area of my life and has just been challenged to continue to just trust God. So I'm really thankful for that.
And let me say I thank you for allowing God to use you. I think if you go back and listen to a couple of shows ago, you'll understand what I'm talking about when I say to Adia that she allowed God to use her, because the reason we're here tonight is because of what God put in her, and for her to have the courage to be able to speak out and open up herself about what God was speaking to her, I think is an awesome thing. Brother Feaster, give us a recap. Tell us something. Bring us something about last week's show or the show before last that you want to bring as a recap to the listeners this evening.
I thought the past two shows were very, very, very interesting, simply because of the dialogue that we were having. It shows that the dialogue that I heard, and not just from us on the radio, but even the people that called in, but it shows that there is a dependency on money. The difference is if that the money... I'm going to reference a movie here that I like, The Players Club, when they say, make the money, don't let the money make you. And I think was the difference that I know, right? That was the difference that I got out of those two shows. Because, like I said last week, me and Adia kept going and seeing it in two different sides last week and even the week before that. But it just goes to show that, you know, some people value it a little more than others. And like you said, it's all right to disagree. But then I got to start looking at that I do have a dependency on money. I do. I didn't grow up with money, so I like the money that I have. And that's one of the reasons why I don't have such a big dependency on it, because I don't want to get caught up in the finer things of life, so to speak, and then one day fall on my face and don't remember, you know, that I was here once before. But it just opening the dialogue just showed that there is a dependency on money, and that dependency on money does not have to be a bad thing. That's really the big thing, the overall thing that I learned over the last two shows.
Outstanding. So let me further set the stage for tonight's show. You know, after last week's show was What Are You Trusting? And the show before last week, last week in August, was dependency on money, which is one that Sister Adia brought us to. This whole thing about control was given to me after last week's show. And let me just give you some definitions that I was able to come across about what control means. Again, I want us to set the stage for tonight's show and to set the stage for our guests as well, because it's really important to their context of what they're going to bring to us this evening. So some definitions that I was able to find was, one, control means to exercise authoritative or dominating influence over. It also means to hold into a restraint. It also talks about the authority or ability to manage or direct. It also talks about one that controls, as is an individual. But the one that I thought that was really, really interesting, and this is in the dictionary, a spirit presumed to speak or act through a medium. Never heard that before as a definition of control. So let me, you know, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, I'll let y'all jump in, but let me just share part of where my heart is for everybody tonight. I know it's important that we be careful in certain situations to not only recognize but identify how our lifestyle creates that dependency on money. And so my prayer for all the listeners and the guests and us as well is that we be careful about letting the enemy just come on in when we're talking about dependency on money or who has control or you being in control, and also about losing the battle to the flesh, where a continued negative dependency on money controls your thoughts, your words, and your actions. I think it's a dangerous place to be, and I know for a fact that more often than anything, it takes people a longer period of time to bounce back from when they lose the battle to their flesh and they are dependent on money to a point where it controls their words, their thoughts, and their actions. So, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, jump on in, and, you know, what does that speak to you before we bring our guest on?
I was trying to give Adia the opportunity to go first because I always seem to jump in and go first. But
well,
I'm going to
go first then.
Go ahead.
I know this is, all I can say was, oh my, when you read the last definition of control, because it shows a whole nother aspect, a spiritual aspect, when you look at control. And I think that it definitely, I mean, my eyes were open. It's just like, okay, well, I don't know. What definition, not to say that we have to choose or there is one that, you know, because they have different, you know, when you look at the dictionary, you have, if it's an adjective, using the word as an adjective or it's a noun or an adverb or whatever. But to see the connotation to the spiritual, and this being a Christian, biblically based radio show, I'm just in my head thinking that when we look at control, and I look at the title, Are You in Control? That control has so many different aspects, because that last definition talking about mediums, I mean, we know that that's talking about spirits and you know, channeling and all of that kind of stuff. And I just think that it's important that we don't forget about that definition, because we need to know. It's important that we know who is up under or who is the driving factor of the control. And I'm really glad that you talked about control in the sense of, you know, that there are things that we are given the power to do. But then also adding in that other factor, that the power that God has given us, now we all have as our inalienable rights as human beings, according to our Constitution, according to the laws of the land, that we have rights to do certain things and that, you know, we have to make decisions and that we are in control. It definitely leaves one to ponder and to consider and to deliberate on the fact of who is really, what control are we walking in as we have the control that we have? I sound like Louis Farrakhan or Jesse Jackson, one of the two, but I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have control over my behavior, but if I am not aware of where that control is, who is being the underlying, I guess, the motive or the factor of that control of where it's coming from, I might think that what I'm doing is correct. So I really like that last definition, because it brings in a different aspect for us to look at the word control, to make us check and challenge ourselves to say, you in control, but don't get it twisted. Understand that there is a bigger control that's out there, and you need to make sure that you're walking in the correct control or walking under the direction of the correct control, because what you may think is right may not necessarily be right. And I think I went off on a tangent. I'm going to be quiet.
That's all right. You got somebody stirred up, Sister Dia. So let me go to the caller. Calling with the last four, 1959. Welcome to the PRF table.
It's great to be here. I mean, when I was in law school, I walked in and a lot of the kind of black community was like, hey, in law school you try to get by, you try to get over. Everybody gets, you know, like a B or a B+, and it set a certain expectation, which was a low expectation. And I remember after my first year of exams, after civil procedure exam, in the bathroom with two white, individuals who, you know, they were talking about, oh, I got an A on that exam. And the other one was saying I got an A+ on that exam because I knew this bonus credit. I was like, why? Why am I setting such low expectations? And I think a lot of black people and a lot of others have really wealth wounds, what I would describe, where we just set really low expectations. So we kind of think about money as evil. We think about it as bad, or that if we have an abundance, and it's not. I just think that's the wrong perspective. So, you know, part of my, if we believe that the kingdom rest within us, if we believe that we should have all that we desire, and these are good people with good values who would use their resources to make sure that, you know, house loans are paid, that their children can go to college, that philanthropic organizations, that their churches thrive. Like, I just worry a little bit about us as a community having a lot of wealth wounds and actually setting much lower expectations for ourselves and what our financial health should be than is necessary.
Wow. I don't know what to say. I've never heard that term wealth wounds before, but I think that's worth us exploring and putting that out there for people to see. You know, this thing is about getting people, thank you, Carla, we appreciate you so much. You know, this thing is about getting people to be able to think about what's going on in their lives and also being able to understand and recognize things that are going on in other people's lives, not as a thing of condemnation, but a thing of, look, we can do better than what we're doing. I think nobody can disagree with me on that. We can do better than what we are doing. No matter how much money you have, no matter how little money you have, everybody can do a little bit more. So, Brother Feaster, did you have anything that you wanted to say before we brought our first wonderful guest on to the show this evening?
I actually, the caller just changed what I was going to say. I mean, as he was talking, I was thinking about even my opening comments when he was talking about the wealth wounds. That's me. That's why I have such the lower value that I have of money and more appreciation of things to do outside of money. It took me a long time to get to the point to where I appreciated money for what it is and what it can do. And I still catch myself at times, you know, valuing. And I'm not demeaning the handshake, the reputation, you know, stuff like that, but I still find myself more of looking for that reputation. You know, when I grew up, it was your name mean a lot. You know, your reputation precedes you. And that's what I value more. But because of my wealth wounds, as the caller said, and I like even the way that sounds, because of my wealth wounds, it took me a long time to come to appreciate money for what it is and for what it can do. And it goes back to, like Kiana said two shows ago, as long as we don't allow that money to overtake us, or like the words of the Players Club, make the money and don't let the money make you. So he really opened my eyes to something right there, and I'm glad he called in and said it.
Amen. We appreciate it. You know, again, this PRF table is not about, you know, my comments, Brother Feaster's comments, Sister Adia's comments. This is about what anybody has that they want to bring to this community to be able to help somebody, because every comment, I truly believe, God uses in a way to help somebody. We have a couple hundred listeners that listen to this show every single week on average, up to 500. That is an amazing, amazing number in my opinion. So it's getting out there. What that caller said is actually something that's going to bless somebody. And it gets us to thinking, even as the host of this show. So with that, let me just tell you what we got with us tonight, or who we have with us tonight. We have Kiana Feaster, and if you've been listening to the PRF table, she's made some comments, even though you know may not have known her, but let me introduce her to you now. She's a former employee at a major university, and she has a degree in criminology, a degree in criminal justice, a degree in survey methodology, excuse me. She told me that she has spent her professional career advising, empowering, and serving as an advocate for students. So, you know, as an educator, that is something near and dear to my heart. The thing that I had to bring Sister Kiana back on the show, because she posted something on our PRF page last week, possessions.resources.finances. And one of the things that she talked about was leaving a job because of something that it cost her. And I said, that let me know that she was not being controlled by the dependency on money. I don't know how many of you out there have ever left something like a job to follow another path and have stepped out on a certain type of faith like that. So I thought it was just so befitting that we brought Sister Kiana back onto the show to allow her to be able to tell her testimony. So with that, without further ado, Sister Kiana, how are you doing this evening? Welcome to the PRF table as a guest this time.
I am doing well, and I am honored to be able to share this testimony and hope that it will be a blessing to someone else who may be in the same situation I was in.
Amen. Well, we're just going to let you go ahead and feel free to give a little bit more about your background if you want to, or if you could just go right into what it is that made you say the things that you said last week, which brought you to this place of being on the show with us this week.
I'll start off with just basically I walked away from a job that paid nearly $60,000 without a backup plan, without another job, because I was led to trust God. I was working in a situation where financially every 2 weeks I was a very happy camper, but sometimes the days leading up to that check getting into my account was very hard. It was a very toxic environment, and there were a lot of things going on, and I just realized that there had to be a better way. I preface this by saying that I'm not someone who grew up in the church. I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm not someone who was very active or is very active in my church. I recently found a church home. So I'm new to this active faith type of momentum. But as I was praying and praying and praying, and I just said there had to be a different way, and God said, you got to trust me. And I said, I don't know what that means. And it said, do you trust me? And I said, okay. So 1 week I got a statement in the mail that basically said, hey, you remember that little bit of money that you put away every week because you don't have kids, you don't have a mortgage, and Uncle Sam loves you in April? You know, there's a little something in there. And I looked and I read the fine print that said, in case of financial hardship, you can tap into that. I said, okay. Definitely alone, went back into the toxic environment, made the best of it because serving my students was what was important to me. Looked at another week later, something in the mail came. It was my stub, and it said that I literally had months of leave that I had not used because I was a workaholic. And I said, there's that money there that could do something. I could, you know, but you know what? I come from a family where when you get 18, you either go to school or you get a job. When you finish with school, you go to work. So in my family, people don't quit jobs. You stick to a job until the end of time, and you make do. So leaving my job, as hard as it was and as challenging it was, never occurred to me. Went to watch night service for the first time I've ever been in church during New Year's. And the theme was 2013 is a year of impact. And I said, you know what? I can get with that. I like that. I don't know how it's going to work out for me. The next day, walk into work, and that same energy, that same spirit that had affected me so much in the prior year, I had had surgery, I had a cancer scare, my lupus flared up, I developed a genetic condition that I didn't know I had flared up. And I had all these scars. I had all these medical issues because of stress, of being committed and being controlled by the pursuit of that money, because you don't leave a good job. That's not what you do. And when that spirit came at me, I said, this is the last time. And I said, God, I give it to you. And I said, I will give up my independent living. I will give up my apartment. I will sell my car. I will move in with my mama if I have to. I said, but I will not be controlled by this spirit and by the security of having a check coming into my house every 2 weeks, because I started to think about it. I'm bringing in good money, but how am I being able to use it? Because I'm overworked. I've got 2 months of leave that hasn't been used, and instead of using that money to both helpful benefit, I'm giving out money, but I'm not giving my time or my energy. I'm increasing my debt because I'm doing retail therapy and I'm trying to maintain and sustain. And I said, this money is not doing what it's supposed to do. This is taking away from my health and my wellness. I said, no more. And when that spirit came at me the way it had been accustomed to and felt comfortable doing, I resigned. I said, you have 6 weeks. I'm out of here. And that spirit was just like, oh, so, you know, it's not a smart idea to leave a job. We don't have a new job, and I'm not going to serve as a – I'm not going to reflect on what you've actually accomplished in the last year and a half if someone calls me about a job. And I looked at that spirit, and I said, and that's okay. And I walked away, and I shed 50 pounds alone just leaving that situation. And then I had to figure out what to do next. And God said, do you trust me? And I said, yes. So – I had to figure out how was I going to make things work. So what I did was I sat down at a table and I looked at what I owed. what my debt was, what I had to work with, and how long I could maintain and sustain my current living status. So I cut things. I reduced stuff. I downgraded stuff. I started shopping at Walmart. I found all kinds of deals and coupons and things you would never imagine that are out there to help you not have to be bound and controlled by that dollar. The other thing about it was is that after leaving this job and thinking to myself, wow, I really have done something. I have been able to be I have become a better steward of my resources, not because I have less resources and I have to. It's because I now have a different relationship with money because I respect it. I respect that this is the money that God has blessed me with instead of the money that I earn, because that's not my money. I didn't make that money. God made that money available to me. So I've learned how to be better about it. I've learned that it's better to teach people how to fish instead of giving them a whole bunch of fish. So in the last couple of weeks when we were talking about money and resources and things of that nature, I've really been like, you know, I realize that when people call me and ask me about money, they aren't asking me about money. They're asking me, how can they affect change in their own lives and be their own advocate to find a way to solve their issues? Because I'm finding that a lot of people want to be empowered. They don't want to be rescued. And a lot
That's
of
right.
times that request for aid is really a request for help. But when I was bogged down by work and my own issues and my own fears, I was completely missing that point. And now I'm exploring other opportunities and saying, God, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm going to go where you lead me to go. But in the meantime, I'm going to make a contribution where I can. So I've been able to step in where parents haven't been able to do things for their kids or taken places. I intervene and do it for them. When people are sick, I can be there to help them. When people have to get to orientation, people have to go places, I've been able to be that person for them. And what it all taught me was, it is very easy for us to be controlled by expectations. My family says, hey, you work and you pay bills. There's no idea of stepping out on faith. It's an incremental step. Stepping out on faith is, I have a quarter tank of gas. I have to get from this place to that place. The Lord is going to make a way. I had to step out on a whole bigger step of faith that most in my family have never seen or experienced. So I recognize that people are seeing what I'm going through, and they're really looking. And so I'm very mindful of, you know, when I share my testimony, that I say, hey, it's not all peaches and strawberries, but guess what? My health is better. I've gotten clean bills of health. I don't have to go see an oncologist anymore. And everyone is saying, because your stress levels are lower. I've also learned that I have to learn how to be a balanced individual and take that word can't out of my vocabulary. Oh, I can't quit my job because X, Y, and Z. No. I can leave a situation that is not for me and that is not of God to do something and be a blessing to other people in a different way. I don't want to be controlled by fear. And I took the biggest leap of faith that I can take. And just a couple of weeks ago, I did a financial planning workshop where I helped, I thought it was just a few family members, and we were talking about making smart goals, specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and timely, and about how can we affect change with our spending habits. What are the things that we're doing to basically cause ourselves harm? I had a section where we talked about what can I do to improve the quality of my life in very specific areas, and it was places for everyone to say what is one, two, or three things I can do. Then I said, okay, we figure out what we need to do and what's the issue in our lives. What can we do to help these things in 2 weeks, 3 months, or 1 year? And then the last thing, which became a homework assignment, was I have a section called Handling Setbacks and Delays. I say come up with 10 safe, free, and healthy activities you can do when you feel discouraged and you want to go back to doing whatever it is, the behavior that you're trying to change and get away from. And then I say list three people you can call when you are feeling impulsive to go backwards and go back to the things that was controlling you. And then the last thing I said was, hey, list five scriptures that you can turn to if the people you call are unavailable to provide support for you when you need it. Because I haven't been able to sustain and maintain out of magic, out of thin air. When God told me to trust him, he then told me, trusting me is that you now have to put in the work. Everything you need to do to sustain yourself and to move forward is there. And what this whole experience did for me was that I spent my lifetime teaching what I've been taught. I taught first-year experience courses and taught people how to adjust to college and how to make good decisions. Now I'm teaching what I know. And I think that's what happens when you step out on faith, is that you start to understand what it is that you really, really know and really figure out how you really can be the biggest blessing and be of assistance to other people in need. And you also learn who you are. You know, I'm not my job. I'm not bound to a title, a label, or money. If I was making 60 at that job, who's to say God doesn't have an opportunity for me to make 70, 80, 90, or whatever? Or who's to say I'll go and make 40 and be just as happy and content as I was with 60 as I am with 40? The bottom line is that I don't want to be controlled by expectations or money or anything. I want to be led by God to do what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to do it. So that's my story.
Wow, you said that's my story. Like, that was just, I know, right? Oh, my God. I want to share something real quick, Adia, and then I'm gonna pass it over to you. During this time, one of the things that Kiana didn't say was during this time, she was really, 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 really struggling. Where she didn't, like, when she told the story, she just walked away from the job. She really didn't just walk away from the job. There was, you know, a long process that she was before this. But in the end, you know, she just kind of just trusts God. She just trusts God through it all. And her health, you know, it was a lot talked about during the family. You know, I honestly, Kiana, I never told you this, but I sit and wonder right now, say, hey, exactly what's going on with the money. You know, and I guess I just, like you said, we grew up under the same thing where it was all about either you're in college or you're getting a job. So I'm one of the ones that's been watching. I'm one of the ones that's been watching. But like you said, not being bound is the big thing. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to the gift.
You know, Kiana, I was sitting here and I was just thinking and chatting. And one of the things that you said that was so key is to trust God. And I had shared with Nate and Feaster that my mom, before she died, June 21st, I had gotten to the point to where I didn't even know what else to pray for. And I had shared that with my mom, and it was like immediately I just sensed in my spirit that God says, I want you to trust me. And when we get to those points to where we know that there's nothing that we can physically do in our power, we don't know what else to say, we don't know another song, we don't have anything to give of us, I have learned that it's in those moments that God is saying, I want you to trust me. And so through that journey of trusting God, he brought me through to go through all of the stuff that I went through with my mom, to just really trust him and to be an encouragement to other people. And as you were talking, I can definitely see the parallel, even though our situations were different. It wasn't until my mom, after we buried her, and I was coming back on the plane, that I fell asleep to just being exhausted, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to pray. So I began to pray right then and there. I mean, woke me up out of my sleep. And I began to pray. And he put two songs on my heart. He said, God Wants a Yes, which is an old song by James Hoare, and another one called No Limits by Israel and New Breed. And so I began to tell God whatever it was. I didn't know what it was. I said, God, I say yes to you because I know and I trust you enough at this point, through everything that you brought me through, that wherever you're getting ready to take me, I trust you. So I had shared with them that God had told me back in 2000, 13 years ago, I was at a bank, and he said, you will have so much money that you will be able to give it away and never have to ask for it back. And I never forgot that. So here I am 13 years later, and it wasn't until I had gone through every that stuff with my mom and just really trusting God and walking by faith and by the leading of the Holy Spirit that he says, now it is time for me to begin to train you for the next level. So out of that topic of dependency that I know that God placed on my heart was, I need you to still trust me through it all of the things that I told you and that I showed you, I'm going to do it. But in order for it to be done, you have to go through a process that I'm going to go through with you. And the more you continue to trust me, every word that I give you, every word that I give you in, through the word of God, through other people talking to you, through you, your observations, I want you to know that it's me. And so I really thank you for showing that, just for sharing that with us, because what my other thought process was is how God can take each of us on a different faith walk, but the underlying factor is that he wants us to trust him. So where you are and where I am are in two different places that probably, I mean, that have no correlation, but except that God wants us to trust him. So I really thank you for sharing that. And it just also shows a level of faith and maturity. As we mature in our natural lives, we also mature in our spiritual lives. And any time that God is taking us through something, it's always to minister to us first. But God is so gracious that he will open up the door to where whatever it is that he's taking you through for your journey, that you're able to share that and minister to other people. So I really thank you just for sharing that. And it's just really opening my eyes that we can hear a sermon, and that sermon can speak to us in several different ways, and that's the power of God and the evidence of him and the work of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives and where we are in our faith walk. And I think that that is so key, that we just share that with people, that where you are, I may not be, and where I am, five other people may not be, but God is still taking us on a journey to trust him, to grow our faith so that we can share it with others. And that's how we impact the kingdom. That's how we impact the community and make a difference, so that none of the glory goes to us, but it always goes back to the creator and who we worship and say we serve and trust every single day of our lives. And I just really thank you so much for sharing your testimony with us. My heart is just overjoyed right now.
Awesome. I'm just going to put it out there on the airwaves. I am a major fan of Adia when she goes off like that. So I'll be sitting back here just smiling and laughing. Just, sometimes I'm occasionally waiting on a little teardrop to come out the corner of the eye, but I'll take what I can get. So I'm glad you made your comments, Sister Adia. Kiana, we do want to thank you for your comments and see how you stirred everybody up. We always like to welcome anybody to come in and, you know, give their testimony. We also, you know, say that you keep your chair up to the table. We're going to be here a little while, and maybe later on down the line somebody will want to know, you know, ask some questions later on. But right now I want to take the opportunity to thank God for the opportunity he's given us to be on Blog Talk Radio, but even more especially on the We Speak Radio Network. On the We Speak Radio Network, there are several other shows and families. We have Iconoclast Radio with Camilla Townsend and a powerful husband and wife team, Erica and Spence Murphy, hosting live every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We have our show, of course, the PRF Table, which airs every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, when we love that y'all pull up a seat to our table. Excuse me, I'm still suffering with this cold. And then we have our next guest for tonight, Sister Kimberly Skings, who is the host of Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skings. She airs every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome our friend, Sister Kimberly Skings.
Hello, PRF Table. How are you doing tonight?
What's up, Kimberly Skings, Freedom Radio? What is
this? Awesome. Ooh, y'all know I don't know what to do. I just want to say thank you guys for considering me to join your show tonight. It is awesome. I'm trying because, JR, I know you are very organized, so I've been taking notes and putting it in order. I am very organized and prepared to talk about what I need to talk about. You guys are off the chain. JR, Adia, Brother Feast, I really appreciate you guys. This show is phenomenal, and I think it's absolutely necessary. Freedom Radio is also doing a series this month on this same, on this very same topic, because I feel a lot like you guys. We hear a lot of negative, and we go to church every Sunday. We go to church, or we go to Bible study, and you hear Sister Butterfly over there talking about, I thank God for waking me up this morning. And, of course, we do. But sometimes I just need a little bit more than that, Brother Sister Butterfly. Yeah. I just need, give me a little bit more, bit more than that. And you guys on the PRF table are doing that tonight. Now, again, I just want to say thank you for having me and thank you for doing responsible journalism. So I really appreciate that.
Well, we thank you, Kim. Let me throw some. I know Brother Feaster gave a short introduction to Kim, but Kim has been hosting Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen since 2011, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, I was a co-host with Kim, so it was through Kim that gave me this opportunity to be where we are actually having our own show, the PRF Table. So even though I'm not on the show every Tuesday night with Kim, we're all still part of one family, so it does – it's nothing for me to open up the airwaves to allow another host of the same family to come on and share. The bottom line is it's about the stories that we have. It's about the things that God has done in our individual lives. So if it's about another host coming on, I'm going to let another host come on. Everybody who's been with us for a little while knows that I don't even say I'm the host of the PRF Table anymore. I say hosting is Brother Feaster, Sister D, and Brother Dunlap. Sometimes my name is first, sometimes their name is first. It really doesn't matter, y'all. All that matters is people's lives get blessed by whatever God is trying to do through us for his people. That's it. So, Kim, you got an interesting story. We need to hear it. Somebody needs to hear what's been going on with Kimberly Skeen. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I know from knowing Kim, a lot of times people will look at us as ministers, as men and women of God, as those of us who have a little bit of education and think sometimes we got it all together, think that things are always easy for us, think that we don't go through certain things. But when you're walking by faith and not by sight, I'm telling you, it makes a big difference. So we got to do what we're doing tonight. We just have to. I can't go against God in this. We got to allow people to share and tell their testimony so that somebody else out there that's listening can be blessed. And even if it doesn't do everything that it needs, that it could do for you, you may be the one that tells somebody else, you know what, I know this sister that left a $60,000 job as you encounter somebody who is struggling with doing the same thing. Kim, come on. You ain't got to have
all
no
right,
notes, Kim. You know how we do it. Just go for it.
Thank
I'm putting
you very
my microphone down.
Uh-oh. Thank you very much. Let me just begin by giving you some context to where I am today and how I got to where I am today. So it was actually about 13 years ago. I came to Atlanta with no job and everything I own in a car. And at that point, all the way from Florida to Atlanta, I just began to pray, and I told God, look here now. God, I had a good life. I enjoyed what I was doing before I met you. And if this thing ain't real, you let me go back and do what I was doing. I came to Atlanta. I wrote down a vision because the Bible talks about having a vision and making it plain, and that includes just for yourself sometimes because this is I am my family. So I don't have children. I'm not married and stuff like that. So I wrote a vision for my own household, and God began to open doors. I was able to get a job, but before that, of course, poor credit. The car I came here with everything in it got repossessed, so went all the way down to nothing but God. So I had to depend on him. And then he began to introduce me to certain financial principles, such as I'm a big Dave Ramsey disciple. For me, that changed. That is one of the things that changed my life. Dave Ramsey's idea is that if you don't have any debt, it really doesn't matter how much you make because it's all yours. So, and that logic to me made a lot of sense. So I began to pay off all of the debt, got all the debt paid off, started to only use cash, and realized that only with $30,000, I was living pretty good with only $30,000, but because I didn't have anything going out. I paid for everything cash. Once I ran out of cash, I stopped spending. So that is a huge thing that I had to learn very early on. And little things began to happen. Of course, as the time progressed, I was living good. Then I lost a job. So then I go back into this state where I'm needy. I don't have any money, worried about a job, can't do anything. And I had to trust in on God again, yet again, to make a way for me. And he did. And I moved into a job, and then I got promoted every time. And I came into the last job that I had recently. I was there almost 7 years, and God began to, which is very ironic, God began to use me ministerially on that job. And the number that I wrote down for God 7 years prior to that, he more than doubled that. So I found myself looking back at my vision. Oh, and by the way, I kept the vision. I didn't just throw it away once I got there. I kept it to remind me of what God had done for me. So in reading that, you know, I was feeling, oh, I made it now. I'm good. I bought my house, bought myself a new car for my birthday. I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then here comes God to say, I think I need you to go to seminary. And I'm like, well, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do that. And Columbia Theological Seminary had a part-time program. I began to do that and work at the same time. But I found in seminary a love and a, I don't know, it was an amazing community. I felt like this is where I was supposed to be from the very first day I walked on that campus. Now, that feeling and that emotion began to stir up some questions in me. Now, God, why do I feel this way about this? What's going on with that? How can I do the seminary thing full time? I began to ask him that question in 2010 when I came on campus. In 2010. So for 3 years, he began to deal with me. Okay, Kimberly, let's just start from the beginning again. One of you asked me prior off air, JR, what scripture did you hold on to? I held on to a scripture in Matthew that says, if he takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how much more valuable do you think you are? In the context I just gave you, he took care of me when I didn't have nothing. This time, I had the nerve to have a savings. I had the nerve to have some backup money. I had the nerve to have, could I say it, learn my lesson? Oh, Lord, what? Well, I don't have to repeat the same lesson over and over and over again?
Yes.
So I was like, God, really? Really? You want me to do what? So to make a long story short, last year I was talking to a pastor that I didn't even know, and he asked me, what exactly do you want to do? I said, well, I'll tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want a pastor. I don't feel like being bothered with people and stuff like that. And he said, well, what is it you want to do? I said, well, I don't know. He kept asking, and it was almost offensive. I'm like, now, wait a minute. I don't even know you. I told him, I'm waiting on God to tell me exactly what to do, because I'm the type that, and I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm so much, I think it was Gideon that said, Lord, if it's you, then rain on the ground and not on the fleece. And then when he did it, okay, rain on the fleece and not on, I'm that type of person, you know. only God's love can love somebody like me. So, so I was in that mode. Oh, I'm waiting for God to confirm that this is where, you know, I need to be. Now, in hindsight, looking back, emotionally, he gave me a pull to the seminary. Financially, he had already prepared me to leave if I wanted to leave. At the job, I always go into a job training somebody to take my position because I know I'm never going to always be there. So I had hired someone that I knew she was the person to replace me. So the pastor said, he said, well, ma'am, I don't think you're waiting on God. I think God is waiting on you. I said, what in the world? This man has got a nerve to tell me. I'm in seminary. I know when God is waiting on me. You know, I'm super duper smart. I'm highly evolved spiritually. And you got the nerve to tell me God is waiting on me and I'm not waiting on him. So, you know, after I got over my little offense, I didn't put him to the test. I believed in his word. And I put my resignation in on May 1st of this year. May 15th was my last day. May 16th, I was in Greensboro, North Carolina, doing an internship at a church as a part of my Masters of Divinity program. So it happened all. I packed my house up. I rented my house. I told God I want to move on campus. I want the full experience. In those 2 weeks while I was having this discussion with God, I found someone to rent my home. I found someone to take care of my car while I was gone. Everything just kind of fell into place. May 16th, I was in the most phenomenal place in Greensboro, North Carolina, St. James Presbyterian Church. And I know the experience that I had, I would never have had I not stepped out and done that. God could have never have spoken to me in any other way except I be there full time. In addition to that, it was 90 days. And I'm telling y'all, I haven't looked back. I don't miss the job. I don't even really think about the job. I'm not even worried. I'm at peace. One of the professors told me today, this is how God will do you when you're out of place. One of the professors told me today, she said, you even look better than you did last semester. She said, I saw on you a heaviness, and now you look more relaxed and you seem more at ease. Mm. I thought I was looking pretty good and covering up pretty well my struggle with God. But apparently I wasn't. But apparently, and that's what calling and destiny will do for you. So you got to, I mean, we really got to free ourselves. And without a job, I've moved in. This apartment is probably 600 square feet. And I sit here every day amazed at how comfortable I am, how I only have exactly what I need, and I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
When just 120 days ago, I thought I needed that paycheck every 2 weeks. I'm really struggling with that. I'm like, God, this is good to me. I feel good. My mind is on okay, and, you know, so I don't know. That's how I got to where I am today, and God is just opening doors, and you guys asked me to come on your show, and some guy today walked up and confirmed to me about an idea about doing a symposium that I had last year when I was burdened and heavy laden, to use my Baptist roots. But now that I can think straight, I can go on and do what I need to do for God. But that money thing, and you have got to free yourself from that. And a couple things I want to say to your listening audience, because there was quite a few good comments early on in the show. I started thinking about when the semester started, my prayer time, God told me to study about the discipline of Job. And because we talk about Job a lot, but we don't ever talk about how much discipline he had. And I went back and read it just this morning about he had 10 kids. And it said every day he sacrificed for each one of his children. Do you know how much time that takes? And attention to detail. And so we got to have some discipline about ourselves because, I'm in seminary and I'm getting to the point now, well, don't ask me to pray for finances. So the fact of the matter, more times than not, it's a mismanagement of the finances you already have. And that's a whole nother prayer. I started thinking about how much money banks are making on NSF fees. You remember, it used to be a time when you ran out of money, they declined your card.
That's right.
So people are paying the bank money so that they
can
have
more
him.
Money.
Yes. Now, that does not make sense. So we need to show some. We need to practice some discipline first of all in our. And that was me. That's why I can talk about it. So you know, if people don't agree, I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. When I was overspending and doing things, and even the loaning money thing, I don't loan money anymore. I don't know, no. Especially if you're not gonna let me say what I got to say when I give it to you. Now I can help you do a budget. Then they don't want to hear it. Why you got to help me do a budget? Well, why are you asking me for money? They got an attitude now. So my point is, in all of this, you know, the scripture said, it talks about walking by faith. We don't always have to take big leaps. Mine was a journey, and that's why I told that long story. I want you to understand it took 13 years to get to this place. But you've got to learn your past lessons, and then you have to implement what you've learned from those past lessons. That's how, in my opinion, we become overcomers of the troubles and the difficulties that we go through. So everything doesn't have to be a leap of faith, but sometimes you just got to walk, do what the scriptures say, and walk by faith, baby steps. Just take one step at a time. And I think that everyone can have this testimony where they overcome and be able to live the dream. That's my motto right now. I'm living the dream. I am living the dream. So I don't know what else to say, but I'm super duper excited about this journey that God has me on. And I don't know. I just appreciate you guys for opening up this topic and making a space available for everyday people like me to share this and let them know there's hope and you can do it. You're going to have some discipline, though. You're going to have to practice the discipline of Job. And that's where I'm at. I'm throwing down
the
mic.
So you're dropping the mic.
I'm dropping it.
You know what? I told Brother Feaster, you remember I said, that's like I told you and Sister Adair, I said, we got two guests on tonight. Brother Feaster said, so I get to sit back and chill? I said, no, bro, that ain't even happening. I said, we're going to all sit down at this table together, and we going all in tonight. You know, this is one of the things that I recognize about ministry. And let me bring Kiana, Sister Kiana, back to the mic so anybody can jump in as we get to these next 20 minutes of the show. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing when we just open ourselves up to sharing with others. It's amazing when we open up ourselves just to hearing from others. I'm not going to monopolize the rest of the show. But let me just say one thing, Sister Kiana, if you're still there with us. One of the things said I really want people to hear, you talked about being new to this faith momentum. And we got people, and I'm not saying this as a thing of condemnation, because I ain't been saved all my life. I ain't been a minister all my life. There are so many people that will listen to this show or that you will encounter in your everyday church life, religious life, work, whatever, that have been around church, that claim to have a relationship with Christ and are still struggling. And I think it boils down to, in one perspective, something that you said, Kim, maybe they haven't learned the previous lesson. There is some power in the learning the previous lesson that you had to go through.
Yes, sir.
There's some power in it. I remember telling somebody, telling a brother yesterday, I said, you know what? I remember back when, well, I'm about to be out there now. I said, I remember back in the day when I got, when I was driving and got pulled over along with some other cats. And they didn't give me a DUI, but they cited me for drinking under the influence or drinking underage. And I said, my little punishment was really, really severe because I was in the military. So, you know, no civilian charge, but the military just dealt with me, gave me 15 days extra duty. They didn't take any money, though. And I said, I didn't learn my lesson. I was like, okay, I can do a cakewalk, you know, 15 days being on restriction. That's a cakewalk for most cats. But if they would have took some money, it would have hurt me. Because I was real, real young. I didn't have too much money back then during those days. And I said, but it didn't stop me from drinking and driving. I wasn't a drunk, but, you know, I did get behind the wheel on plenty of occasions, you know. But if I would have, as a grown person, with a family, with children, and got hit with a DUI and had to pay $700 for a DUI class, had a real serious record, lost my security clearance, that would have been that hard lesson that I would have had to have learned for me to say, you know what, I can't do this no more. So some people learn from their lessons after the first time with just a little shaken up. Some people learn after they lose a whole lot. So there may be some people that's out there that have lost a lot but still haven't taken the time to go back and say, okay, what is it? Kim, you mentioned something very, very critical. It was brought back to your remembrance. Brought back to your remembrance what had actually happened. What you had said to God. Let me. I'm done.
Oh, wow.
I just want to jump in and say I like the fact that, Kim, when you ended, you said, you know, we're just everyday ordinary people. And for me, that spoke volumes because, you know, I'm like you, JR. I ain't been doing this thing all my life. I've been walking this walk a little while, but I ain't been doing this all my life. And I remember when I first came in to Living Right, I was deciding that I was going to live for Christ. And I would look at these people that could just preach their little tail off or pray and just bring the walls down or sing and everybody's on their feet or, you know, whatever their gift was. And I would just be like, wow, I will never make it there. I would. Yeah. I mean, they've been doing this forever. And so if we look at it like that, then you're right. We will never make it there. But here I am. Over 10 years later, you know, faithfully following God, faithfully studying, faithfully, you know, being obedient. And now I can look back and say, man, now I'm the person I was looking at. But then I still look at the person I was looking at over 10 years ago and say, man, I'm still not where they are or even where they were. You know, so we have to realize that this is an everyday process. It's moving. I like the phrase, I'm falling forward. My father in the ministry used to always say, I'm making mistakes and I'm falling, but I'm falling forward. And what he told me was that although he's falling, although he's making mistakes, he's still gaining ground. It may be an inch here. It may be a foot here. You know, you always want to take the leap of faith and jump, you know, how to say, higher than the tallest building, able to run faster than a locomotive. You know, we always want to do that, but we don't realize that the journey of 1,000 steps must first start with that one step.
Mm-hmm.
And that the next step is just one step. And the next step is just one step. We did a road march yesterday, and I'm telling you, you got 6 miles. You got 30 pounds on your back. You know, you got uphill, downhill. You got sand. You got all these obstacles against you. And the whole 6 miles, all I kept saying to myself is one step in front of the other one. One step in front of the other one, one step in front of the other one. And then when I looked up and realized that I was starting to get a little tired, I was at 5 miles. I was like, well, man, it's too easy now. I can take it now for another mile. But I said all that to say is if we realize this is just ordinary people doing extraordinary things, then we'll realize that if I see it that way, then maybe I can get, now, ain't no maybe, then I can get there too. If I just take one step at a time, my leap of faith may not be the stadium size. It may be simply 2 inches in front of me. By golly, that's a leap of faith, and I'm going to keep taking every 2 inches I got. I'm dropping the mic, and I'm walking away. I got all worked up, y'all.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, let me do something before we run out of time for tonight's show, because this has definitely been, I have to say, this is the best PRF table show that we have had since we started this back in 2012. I have to say it. We got a caller. We got time for one more caller. Caller with the last four, 5656. Welcome to the PRF table.
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me?
We can hear you well. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Marianne speaking. I'm telling you, this show is just a blessing to me because at this stage in my life, I am 67 years old, and I'm just in a dry place. And I was just saying, God, you know, when I was back home, I was just, oh, my gosh, I was just doing this and doing that and doing the other, you know, just really involved. And he moved me here to Jacksonville, and it just seemed like I'm not doing anything for the Lord. So I'm questioning and saying, you know, I'm not doing anything, Lord, you know. I'm not motivated to do anything, you know. And the church where I am now, they asked me to do Sunday school. And even before, I just never have a yearn to work with children. I always had a yearn to work with women that have been battered, to lead groups and things of that nature, you know. That's where my passion is. But to make a long story short, when I was even in Florida, the pastor said, look how the children come around you. You know, all the children come around me. And I really don't think I have too much to offer children because of where my passion is. And I'm at the church now, and I've asked to they asked me to join that Sunday school staff, and I said, no, just let me wait on the Lord, you know. And I had I just don't have any passion for it. But last night, this little girl, the power of God was all over her, and she was standing by herself, and she was just crying, you know, and just wiping her eyes and just crying. So I just reached out my hands, and she came to me, and she hugged me. And, you know, and the other children in the church, too, you know, and I'm saying, okay, you know, maybe I need more classes, things of that nature. And it gets to the point that how many more classes you need, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I've been around for a while, you know. And why I'm saying this is that it's our obedience to God, and I'm finding humbling myself to that call, you know, because, yes, I've been with the older people, the teenagers, things of that nature, but it's like, I believe God is humbling in me to show me something through children. And that's the only thing. And I'm beginning to say, okay, I'm beginning to see it, but I don't have a passion. I don't have a passion for it. My passion, like I said, is for women that are battered, and we sit in groups and we discuss and to see them to grow and come out of some of the situations. That's what my passion is. So maybe someone have a word that they can give me, you know, to just help me with this journey.
Sister Adia. So Sister Adia was still with us. You know, this is the thing that I would say to our caller who is listening, and if anybody else has anything, and this is me. I know she asked for a word, but I think you have been given so many words tonight that all you have to do is just pick one. I think sometimes we can always be looking, we can oftentimes look for a fresh word when God has already spoken. One of the things that I heard our caller say, and we thank her for the call, I heard our caller say something that Sister Kim said. So what I would encourage versus giving a word, I would encourage to meditate on what has already been said. God has already given the words that you need because it has already sparked up something within you. Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, anybody, if y'all have anything else, if you have a word, I don't. I just, all I have is what I just gave.
I do, and the only thing I wanted to say is that, this is to the last caller, is that same passion that you had from you know, talking to the battered women and seeing them come out of that situation, what I can just see is, because you're planting a seed by working with those children, you can definitely begin to impact them so that they don't have to go through what those battered women went through, whether it be young men or whether it be young women. And so sometimes we have a passion for something, but we also need to plant a seed. And what not better opportunity than to plant a seed in a young child, boy or girl, so that they know the love of God, so that they know that there is somebody that loves them, and they don't have to become dependent on the superficial love, the lies that people are going to tell them, because they may not be reaffirmed at home or wherever it is that they live. So I just see what I saw and what I see and what I heard was you planting a seed so that when they get older, they won't have to have somebody walk them through a battered women's program because you would have already imparted something in them from a child, and that's the love of God that no one can separate us from his love. And I just really just love tonight's show. It was awesome, and I definitely learned a lot. And one of the key words that Kim said was the journey. And I thank God for the journey because it is ongoing. The journey is not short term. A journey can last the rest of your lifetime, but to know that you're on that journey with God, I'd rather be on that journey with him than to feel alone and to not have any sense of direction or guidance.
Amen. Wow. J.R., I'm going to add a little bit there, a couple things that your caller, or just kind of came to me as everyone was speaking. Number one, we always have a tendency, or the world has placed on us a tendency of it's either or. I'm in women's ministry, I'm in children's ministry, I'm in battered women's ministry, I'm called a minister to men, I'm called a minister to finance, but I believe in reading a lot of books on becoming a millionaire and wealthy and prosperous and all that stuff, they have a mentality of I can do both and. And I believe that's very much a God mentality that you can do all of it. And in thinking about the mental state of a woman that has gone through domestic violence, it is very much like a child where it's resistant at first, but once you show them love, which is what a child is looking for, they're very open to what you have to sow into them. So I'm not exactly sure if, and you change, you grow, you evolve, seasons change. At one time you may have been called to batter women, and now you have a calling for children. You can do both and enjoy the journey. I've tried a lot of things on my journey with God, but some I said, I know that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. But at least try it and see. I think it's an honor to at least have an opportunity, especially to, although I'm very resistant to working with children myself, but I think it's an honor to have that opportunity. And I hope what I said made sense, but I think it's more about the spirit that you carry that is appealing to youth and to battered women. They want people that they can feel comfortable with, and you may carry that spirit. And so, therefore, the children are being drawn to you. So I really don't think it's a choice you have to make. I just think it's either or. I mean, both and is what I think.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Kim. And we thank you, Kim, for, again, just sharing with us. And we're going to have to do this again. So this is not the last time that we will be sitting down at the table with you or sitting down at the table with each other. So thank you so much for accepting the invitation. Blessings upon Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen and all that God is doing with you in your life. Sister Kiana, please give us some parting words for this evening. Thank you so much for being here as well.
Thank you for the opportunity. I think my kind of final wrap-up in listening to everything is that one of the things that I've learned is that when we can ask the question and we're looking for confirmation for something that we are already aware of, then we already know what we want to do. We just want that confirmation. So it sounds like she has seen the calling that's been placed in her life, and she's seen the effect that she has on children. But it's just a matter of just accepting that what she thought was the best or correct or where she was supposed to be, there's a new path that she's about to take on. So if children are being drawn to you and you're feeling it and people are telling you that there's something there that should be explored, and it could be that whatever resistance that you may be feeling maybe something that needs to be explored a little bit more and even prayed upon, because
I knew that I needed to make moves and make decisions, but I was just resistant to do it because I was very comfortable where I was. And once I decided that I was more so concerned about doing what God has called me to do than being comfortable, following through and trusting him became a lot easier. So my closing point is that there's really the path that people are comfortable with us being on or that we've got accustomed to, and then there's the path that God has for us. And sometimes that path that we've been on is so familiar that it just seems easier to go down that road. But God has given us all the tools, all the information that we need to make sound decisions and to live a more fulfilling life. And all we have to do is really just unpack that message and really take the time to reflect and really think about where am I, where am I supposed to be, and what do I already know, even if I don't want to believe it.
Yeah,
that's my
yeah.
final thought.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm thanking everybody. Brother Fisa, I don't want to forget about you. You're the only other male voice on this show tonight. So go ahead, Brother Fisa. I know you got something burning in your heart as you get ready to close it out this evening.
You know, I always got something burning in my heart. I'm getting my words together. The caller asked for us to give her some words of encouragement along and help her with this decision. My simple answer is, once we finish the show, go back and listen to the show, because we had two guests on here, both Kiana and Kimberly, both who never expressed a desire to quit their job. Matter of fact, they expressed a strong desire not to quit their job, but yet took the leap of faith and stepped out there and did what they felt that God was putting in their heart to do. If you listen to their stories again, you'll hear that there was some resistance. You hear that there was some doubt. You hear there was some all kind of these other emotions. But now you hear excitement and exuberance because being obedient with God, they're in the blessings of God. And neither one of them currently have a job. So they're in the process right now. So, and last, I would say that when, you know, there are many stories in the Bible that where God told people to step out on faith and they just had to do it. And there was nothing there for them to step out there on, just they had to step out there on. So the question is, not which direction to go. The question really is, should I activate my faith now? I thank you all for coming out tonight. This has been a great show. I am excited and exuberant. I want to hear this show again. I'll probably listen to it again tomorrow. So thank you for the time. God bless you. I love you.
Let me say this as we get ready to leave for this evening. We bless everybody and thank everybody for everything that you've been able to contribute to this conversation and discussion. So hopefully you've been able to see why this discussion, why this conversation, why this dialogue is definitely important. You know, dependency and trust, those are things that we talked about in previous shows. We continue to talk about it. This week, my hope and my prayer is that you've had some real-life examples that you can grab a hold to. I know and recognize how powerful those testimonies were from Sister Kimberly and Sister Kiana. And being able to show people that you don't have to allow the money to control you, brother. I can't say it, Brother Fisa. I can't say your statement, bro. Don't let the money control you. Don't allow money to negatively control your life. So this show tonight was really about witnessing to individuals through this medium, which is a powerful and awesome medium of radio. Of internet radio, whatever you want to call it, however you listen to it, Blog Talk Radio, it is all there for you. So I agree with you, Brother Feaster, that for our caller who just called in, that we are able to provide some sort of information or some feedback to her that she would allow God to take that, put it into her heart, and allow him to manifest whatever it is that any of us have said to be able to help her go forth in what God has called her to do. So remember that. Freedom can only come from others' experiences sometimes. Sometimes you have to listen to the experiences of others. So with that, what I'm going to say is this. Next week, I'm going to be on vacation. So more than likely, Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders are going to be hosting the PRF table by themselves. They didn't know it until I just said it. But one of the things I think I'm going to do, because I want to get some men to be able to be onto the show and to actually talk about their testimonies about doing some of the same things or how God has done some of the same things that Sister Kimberly and Sister Kiana actually mentioned. I think I'll do a pre-recorded message so that you can hear it, but we're going to work on getting some men so you can hear testimonies not just from women but from men also. So until we see you next week, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and thank you for sitting down at the PRF table.